condolences to the Yalo family and for Grandma Viala's passing. I didn't hear until Sunday, and Sister Francis said, "Your Presbyter Selena, so you heard." And I said, "Heard what?" She said, "He didn't hear." And she told me, and I was like, "What?" And it was sad. It hurt my heart. And when I came here last November, that was the last time I saw her, and I went and greeted her, and she just loved on me. Like, she was just a loving woman. And but she's one of the pillars of this organization.
Yeah.
And I know what it feels like to lose your own pillar of your church. We lost five members back to back.
Yeah.
And it was hurtful, but one that really hit was when Sister Anchetta passed. She's one of our pillars, and she was at all the retreats. As a matter of fact, her last retreat, thank God we honored her that retreat for some reason. We were honor, and she didn't make it to the next one, the following one. As a matter of fact, her funeral service was during the retreat weekend the following year. But I know what it feels like to lose a member of a church, but more than that, I know what it feels like to lose a mother. And so my heart goes out to Pastor David and Sister Peter and the family and grandmother. I know what it feels like, you know, so my heart goes out to you guys. I know this church is so close. And when I was here, it was family. It was really, really close. And so little, that's why we're so close. It's family. Yeah. So I'm happy to be here with you this morning. And Pastor Chris, he gave me a little bit late notice of, you know, I did contact him earlier in the week, and then we just communicated a little bit. And then towards the end of the week, he said, "You know, it's open for you." And I was like, I was about to turn him down because I was like, it's kind of late to prepare, but you know, when the Lord sends you, and he's gonna put a word in you as well.
Yes.
I'm just gonna go with what you guys have been learning from what I understand is the Book of Romans.
Yeah.
So, but before that, I do wanna put a plug in for the retreat. I am the LMC president, but I'm also on the Presbytery Board, and it's a lot. And so what I'm doing now, what I'm trying to do is more of training with the new officers, because it's a whole new team of officers. All of my team is gone, so it's brand new. It's just me. It's me with new. And so I'm trying to do more training, because I've been doing it for a long time, and I know this is going to be my last round with LMCs, because I know the Lord's shifting me again into a different place. And so I'm trying to train as well as learn how to be a presbyter. And I think the Lord made it easier for me because it's Salinas that I get to be with, and I already know this church, and I've been here, so it's a good way to start off. But because I still am the LMC president, I do want to invite all the ladies to the retreat April 26th to the 28th. It's in Bakersfield. And if you were there for the past 2 years, it's the same place. I know the location's not the best, and everybody hates Bakersfield. It's just so nowhere. But it's a central location. It's a central location, and it's perfect for everybody in the middle. But Sister Pete shouldn't be doing that. But the place, the venue that we have, is there. They're good for us because we don't have to worry about any weddings going on or anything else. A lot of times that's what we dealt with was a party going on during our services. So they'd be partying in the next room, and then we're over here trying to praise God, and it's just like a battle going on. And then I think one year we were even at like a club. Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys went to that one. It was they literally had a club in the evening. And I think we had an evening service, and so when we were leaving, party was getting started. So we don't want to deal with that. So this location in Bakersfield, it's a good venue. So we're not going to be bothered by anything else. It's just us. It's affordable. If you start fundraising now, you still have some time. It's a little bit extended this year because our new treasurer has a corporate license with what is it? It's like a She's a planner, like an event planner. So she has a corporate something, and so she's able to like get better deals or things. So there's a little bit of a discount, not major, but a little one. And but because Easter is the weekend that we usually have retreats, so retreats the following weekend, so it's extended. So I really want you guys to come, all the ladies, to come if you can make it. If you don't have anything else to do, if you don't have any plans that weekend, then please come. If you do have plans already, then I understand. But if you don't, and you just don't want to come, then just like ask God to change your heart so you can come. Because we have a good time in the Lord. And I really want our new officers to be encouraged, because just because they're new, you know, just because the former officers aren't there anymore, I don't want them to feel like, well, it's not them, so we're not going to come. I really want our ladies to be encouraged. So if you can make it, please come to retreat. So the Book of Romans is pretty heavy if you get into it. And as I did some studying this past week, I was like, wow, there's no way I'm gonna get through one chapter. There's no way. I was gonna try, but the Lord knows what he's doing. And if I understand correctly, you guys haven't finished chapter 11 yet.
Yeah.
But you will. But I'm going to go into 12. I'm going to get started in 12. And if you've been here and I guess going through the series of Romans, you might see that there's a theme in the book. And what I found, and based on my studies, a lot of it's dedicated to the gospel. A lot of the first chapter 1 through 11 is dedicated to the gospel, to salvation, to justification by faith. There's a lot of things that we'll hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Things like that. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're learning all these things through 1 through 11. And after knowing and learning all these things, then Paul starts chapter 12 off with something really heavy, and it's familiar, very familiar. But when you think about it, after he's writing all these other things about salvation and justification and all these different, then he starts instructing us. But his instruction comes off really strong. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we thank you once again for gathering us in your house this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all who are here, Lord, and those who cannot be here this morning. Father, we pray for a blessing over them. But, Lord, those of us that are here this morning, Lord, I pray that our ears would be anointed, Lord, to hear what you have to say this morning. I pray that our hearts would be encouraged. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the time we had to worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you came and you're here with us and you visit with us, Lord God. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, that it wouldn't be my words, that it would be your words, Lord. Let your word come forth and charge our hearts this morning, Lord God, and encourage us and stir us up, Father. We thank you once again in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So one thing I like about like certain versions of the Bible is they break them down and they give you their own topics, you know, like, so you don't have to do that, but of course we do anyway. But so like Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, mostly all the versions that I was looking up, like the English Standard Version, the Holman, New Living Translation, New King James, NIV, all those, they all say living sacrifice. Most of them start off with living sacrifice. That's what everyone says. Living sacrifice is to God, a living sacrifice to God. And the Amplified Version said dedicated service. I like that. And then when you go into verses 3 through 8, they had different titles on that one. Humble service in the body of Christ, serve God with spiritual gifts, many gifts but one body. That's what they came up with, the writers, in the different versions. And then verses 9 through 21, marks of a true Christian, love in action, that's NIV. Behave like a Christian, that's the New King James. And then the omen is Christian ethics. So Pastor Chris will have fun doing those. But this morning, I'm going to go in with verses 1 and 2. And there's this term that people use today, that young people use in a lot of songs. They say it, and I hear it. I hear it quite a bit. But it's called, they say, live your best life. Has anyone ever heard that? Living your best life. It's motivating. It's kind of catchy. So I want to call verses 1 and 2 living your best life. Now, how many of you know that a life in Christ Jesus is the best life? Yeah. That's living your best life. See, the world has it wrong because they're thinking that money and fame and all these and fashion and having everything and provision, and that's living your best life, and nice cars and all this stuff. But a life in Christ is living your best life.
Amen.
I should have used different glasses because I can't see this way, but I can see this way. I'll be going back and forth. I don't want to do this because I'll go really old. I'm just kidding. Okay. So, living your best life, but living your best life in Christ is also a process. There's a process that we have to go through to get into our best life. When you accept the Lord into your life and you get baptized in water and you surrender your life to God, that's wonderful. And you started to live your best life right there. But you're going to go through some things. We go through a lot. We're going through something right now where our hearts are heavy. We go through things in our lives, but we can still live our best life. But there's a process that we have to go through. There's some cleaning up that we have to go through. And God is always wanting to do a work in our lives. And so Paul starts here in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, with a plea. He's pleading to them after he's teaching about salvation and teaching about justification. Then he starts off with a plea. He's almost saying, I beg you, brothers and sisters, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
So Paul starts off with this plea. He's pleading with the church or with the people in Rome. And it's like I said, it's a heavy plea. It's a heavy charge to present your body as a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Not just that, but holy and acceptable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's extra. There's more that comes with it. So our bodies being offered, why would God want us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? And we think about the Old Testament, we think about the sacrifices that they would offer on the altar, and they would burn the sacrifice, and it would be a sweet smell to the Lord. And then we think about the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, once and for all. But then we get here, and we're told to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not one that has to go on the altar and die, but to live as a sacrifice.
Yes.
So why would we be commanded to present this body as a sacrifice? Because this body is all of you. It's everything that you are. From head to toe, that would be full surrender. That would be everything. That would be all of you. The importance of offering our bodies, and the scripture gives a lot of detail, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, this is New Living Translation, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says, the two are united into one. But the one who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. This is detailed about honoring God with your body and presenting this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Holy, right here. Now it's hitting a sexual immorality. It's saying that there's no other sin that's worse for your body than that. So then if we're joined to anybody else that's not who God okayed you to be with, that means when you stand before God and say I do, then you're not honoring God with your body. And you're not, then you can't stand here and say, well, I present myself as a living sacrifice. But there's more than that, more than sexual immorality. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop right there.
Yes.
Their God is their appetite. What does that mean? Well, that means that they don't pay attention to what God says. They just fill themselves up with whatever their appetite is. That could be food. Yeah. That could be chemicals. That could be anything. That could be alcohol. That could be drugs. That could be anything whatever is our appetite. But some people destroy themselves by what their appetite is, because instead of listening to God and instead of doing what God wants us to do, we do what our appetite wants us to do. We do what's inside of us. It's not what goes into a man that defileth him, it's what comes out. What's inside of you, what you desire, is what you bring in, and that's your appetite that you made your God. That's who you bow down to, is your own appetite. That's what the scripture says. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under his control. Amen. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies. But while we're here on earth, we have to present this body unto him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Holy means pure, morally blameless, consecrated. How do we do that? How do we get pure? How do we get consecrated? How are we morally blameless? How do we present this body to be pure and morally? What do we do? How do we get right? We have instruction in the Word on how to get right, on how to get consecrated. Fasting and praying helps us to get consecrated. Fasting and praying helps us to get pure and stand pure before the Lord, morally blameless. But how do we get that way? When we get into verse 2, it says that you have to be transformed. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Yeah. That your mind's renewed. That's where the word repentance comes in. The changing of the mind. Transform, renewed mind. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't pattern or fashion yourself according to the world. I'm not just talking about styles, because I like a certain way of fashion. We all do. We all have our own style. We all have our own way of dressing, our own way of looking, our own way of combing our hair, and you know, put whatever shoes. I'm not talking about that. Unless you're following like strippers and stuff, don't do that. Then I am talking about fashion. Don't be like that. Now I'm gonna say it right here, right now. Don't do that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about following and the pattern of the way the world lives. What does the world go after? What entices us in the world? What draws us away from God into the world? It's anything that keeps you from getting closer to God. Anything that keeps you from drawing near to God. Then you're following the pattern of the world. Then you're conforming to the pattern of the world. But don't pattern or fashion yourself according to the world. How many of you know that this world is wicked?
Yeah.
We live. I just can't believe some of the stuff that's out here. I cannot believe some of the things that, like the stories you hear about murders and parents killing their kids, like babies. I just saw something on the news. A baby was left in a trash bin. A newborn baby. And then they found the baby, and they weren't able to revive the baby. And when they finally got him to the hospital, and so the baby died. But stuff like that, what is that? Where does that wickedness come in? There's so much. The Bible says that in the last days that the love of many will wax cold. That's what the Bible says. The love of many will grow cold. That's the day we're living in. That's why we here, us, the church, we have to do what the word says. We have to present ourselves unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable
service,
your reasonable act of worship. We'll get into that. But this world we live in is so wicked. And that's why the Bible, and even all the way back then, Paul was saying, don't conform to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All the way in the Bible days. I wonder what their wickedness looked like compared to ours today. They did some pretty wicked things back there with the Baal worship. And in the Old Testament, they did some great, all the Greek gods. As a matter of fact, they dealt with a lot of, he was coming against all that. That's why he spoke so strongly. That's why he shifted so quickly and gave them that charge to, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, after all this, now you know what? Now present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. This transform, it literally means to transfigure. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
It's just, it happens just like that, but we're still processing. Amen? Then you will know what God's perfect will is. And I want to talk about worship before we get into God's perfect will. Because I believe this is a message that God's speaking to the church, not just SMG, not just BCC. He's talking to the church right now. And, you know, when we were singing earlier, I felt the presence of the Lord so strong. And who loves the presence of the Lord? How many of you love to be in God's presence?
Yeah.
And when you're going through hurting, you're going through pain in your life, you're going through some suffering in your life, when you worship God, he starts to lift that heaviness. And Psalms 42, I think it says, David, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in the Lord. I will hope in the Lord. He started to encourage himself. And when you keep reading that and you see how he starts remembering going into the sanctuary, going into where he would worship God with everybody else, David understood what worship was. And for us, when the Bible says this is your reasonable act of worship, service means worship. That word service actually means worship. So when we present ourselves to the Lord, that is our worship. It's not just about a song. It's not just about singing up here and being a worship leader or a worship praise singer or any of it. It's worship, adoration, exaltation as a living sacrifice. And then the song means that much more when you become worship to the Lord. But God's calling us. The Bible says that He's looking. He's looking for a worshiper. He's looking for a worshiper that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Worship is so powerful, especially when you understand and you begin to worship God in your heart with full surrender to Him, and you're going through these trying times. I'm telling you, try to worship God in your darkest moments. Just try Him out. I dare you to be downcast and worship God and watch what He does. Watch what He does for you. Watch how He'll lift that burden. Watch how He'll overshadow you with His holy presence, and all you can do is just bow before Him and cry and thank Him and continue to worship Him. He causes us to worship Him. He causes us to worship Him because of His presence. He's so powerful. I was reading about Moses and how he had spent time with the Lord, and when he came down, he didn't even know what he looked like. He didn't even know the glory that was all about him because of the time he spent with the Lord. Our time that we spend with the Lord, worshiping Him and being in His presence, is not for other people to see. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you to encourage you to get with God.
Yes.
If you haven't got with the Lord in the past 20 years, in the last 5 years, or in the last year, get with Him now. Right now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. It's time for us to draw near to God. The Bible tells us to draw near to Him. He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you.
Amen.
Amen. God's perfect will. God's perfect will is living your best life. And I want to remind you that Jeremiah 29:11 says that He knows the plans that He has for you. He knows the plans that He has for your life. He has good plans. They're not to harm you. They're to give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
He has a plan for your life. And even you little kids right here, God has a plan for you. He knows the plan. He thinks, He's already thinking about you, what He's going to do with you. He has a plan for your life.
Amen.
Luke 22:42. So we're talking about God's perfect will. Jesus was faced with a time in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, when He didn't want to go through something. This is Jesus, God in the flesh. He's Jesus. And He didn't want to go through something. Because it just, I can't even imagine what He was feeling when He said, Father, if it's Your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. That's God's perfect will for me to go through that. But it is. Sometimes it's God's will for us to go through things, but there's victory
Amen.
On the other side of that.
Yes.
Yes.
There's
Amen.
Victory. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. The will of God. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures. Psalms 37:4, these are familiar scriptures. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's living your best life. That's living in the will of God. Delight in yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. The Lord knows the desires of our heart. The Lord knows what we want.
Amen.
And the Lord knows what we need. So the Lord gives us what we need, but the Bible says when you delight in Him, He'll give you what you want. We know that we have a God who gives us what we need. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord our provider. He provides all of our needs according to His riches and glory. But we want things. And we don't always get what we want, but when you delight, when you follow the Word and you do what the Word says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. He knows the secret things that we have, the secret desires that we want. He knows those things. Now, I want to encourage you and remind you this morning to delight yourself in Him. and watch him move. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand the will of the understand what the will of the Lord is. When we stay in tune with God, when we stay in his word, when we stay in prayer, when we stay close to him, we begin to understand what his will is. Psalm 119:05 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the will of God. When you let God lead the way, when you let the word of God be that light for you, you're in the will of God. You're in God's perfect will. And that's when you're living your best life, in God's perfect will. And what I love most about Romans 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's my favorite part of the scripture, because of the Lord's mercy.
Yes.
The mercy of the Lord. He understood. Paul, he didn't just give it to you like that. He let us know from the beginning, before you present your body, before you do that crazy thing of being a living sacrifice, by the mercies of God. Only by God's mercy can we even attempt to be a living sacrifice. There's something about God's mercy, and I'm thankful for his mercy, the mercies of God, plural. You understand? Again and again and again and again, the mercies of God. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. By his own mercy. He saved us by his own mercy. One of my favorite scriptures, Lamentations 3:22-23. The steadfast love of the Lord. Oh, we should sing that. Can we sing that?
Yeah.
We'll sing it after. Oh, you can go right now. Let's go right now. Can you play it right now, Pastor?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I do. I love that song. Let's sing about the steadfast love, and then I'll close in just a second. I love this song. I love singing about the Lord's mercies. And this one is just a beautiful. It's an old song that I just love. You guys are gonna sing with me. You know it. So everybody has to join in. Of the Lord cause us to want to live right.
Yeah.
He's such a good God.
Yeah.
He's such a merciful, loving God. His love is steadfast. Thank you, Lord. And I'll just read this last scripture and then we'll close. And this is another familiar scripture. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That we may take hold of mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I know that it's a time of need here at SFG. But I know that we trust the Lord with all of our hearts. I know that this little church loves the Lord. I know that we trust in Him with everything that we have within us. And we know that His mercy is here for us. His mercy is abounding. His love is everlasting. He tells us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And as we face these days ahead and as we go through trying times in our lives, we stay connected to God's word. And we continue to present ourselves unto Him as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. This is our worship to the Lord. And I promise you, and He promises us that He will sustain us. He'll keep us in perfect peace if we stay fixed on Him. If we keep our eyes stayed on Him, He'll keep us in perfect peace, and He'll sustain us. And this morning, I want you to know that I love you. But more than my love, the Lord loves you. And the Lord of mercy is here to carry you through, to bring you through, to keep you strong, to build you up, to make you all over again. And we might feel weak, but like that song says, I may be weak, but your spirit is strong in me. And we trust in the Lord. We trust in His word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.